charming lot.
Darklings, and welcome back to the Charmed Pot. It's August already, and the curtains in my parlor are constantly closed against the heat of the day star. Yours probably are too, right? But it is the height of the build season, and we've just passed the 100 days until Halloween mark, so we have to venture out to work on props every so often. Many of you are building your cemeteries for the first time, or perhaps you're adding to an already established cemetery, so tombstones and all things related to grave markers are likely on your mind. You know what? Me too. But before I get into that, I'd like to take you on a little side trip. Earlier this year, the Mister and I re-landscaped our front yard. As haunters, you know what a potential trauma this can be for your haunt, particularly if you have a spouse who just does not realize that everything going on in that area must be analyzed carefully for haunty goodness before making radical changes. I am, in fact, married to one of these freaks of nature. Yes, it's true. Pity me, O ye haunters. The Cliff Notes version is, we tore out our lawn and put in drought-tolerant plants. You know what that means, don't you? I've sort of lost my graveyard, at least until I can work out how to reconfigure it for the new space. I'm in the position of having to change themes, and I have to admit, I feel a bit off balance knowing there won't be a graveyard this year. But you all know the old saying, you can take the goth out of the graveyard, but you can't take the graveyard out of the goth. Enter my local graveyards and the topic of this segment, graveyards and their symbolism. Lakeside Cemetery and Mausoleum is conveniently located on my way home from work. I'd been meaning to stop by and check it out for years, but never got around to it until quite recently. If you're interested, I posted photos of this nifty place on the Hauntcast Minions page on Facebook. I live in the gold country of California, and our tombstones sometimes date back to the 1800s and earlier. Lakeside's tombstones are no different, with the oldest one I was able to decipher dating back to 1875. I could go into great detail about the weather wear and the lichen on them for your prop-making reference, but that's really a job for Tara Lair or for Denny. What I will share for your prop-making edification is the symbolism of the various carvings and ornaments on the tombstones. Graveyards, as I'm sure you're aware, can have any number of different options for interring the deceased, but in the United States, those options generally fall into two categories. Funerary architecture and what Douglas Keister, author of Stories in Stone, a field guide to cemetery symbolism and iconography, calls stone sentinels. Funerary architecture is something you'll find in older cemeteries. There's so much to see in this category. There are mausoleums, tumuli, chapels, tombs, sculptures, etc., memorials, and sarcophagi. These are larger structures a haunter can add to his or her graveyard to make a bold focal point for the haunt. Take the sarcophagus, for instance. It's a coffin-like structure found in some cemeteries, sometimes looking like a boxy, claw-footed partner's desk. Strangely enough, most sarcophagi don't have a body in them. The body is usually interred beneath it. You can spot the older ones in the graveyard because of the difference in their color in comparison to the stone or concrete around them. They're mostly made of bronze, which gains a streaked black and green patina from the weather over the years. If you study some of Tara Lair's videos, you can learn a lot about paint effects if you plan to build a project like this one. I'd suggest sticking with the theme and time period of your haunt to make it more realistic and avoid the Heinz 57 look. Different symbols appear on both sarcophagi and tombstones. There are symbols from secret societies, clubs, and fraternal organizations, such as the Masons or the Benevolent Protective Order of Elks. There are symbols of flora and fauna, religious devotion, the human condition, and of mortality. Symbols of mortality are something of a gimme in the cemetery, as you're already aware. I remember going to a cemetery, I believe it was Boston's Granary Burial Ground, where the evidence of mortality symbolism was on nearly every tombstone, it seemed. It's formally called the Death's Head. The Death's Head evolved from the influence of the buzzkill religious group called the Puritans. Their attitude at the time was, you live, you work your tail off, and you die. End of story. It also evolved from there not being enough space or money to be buried inside the church close to the altar, where the parishioners' prayers could get you to heaven faster. When the space ran out, the Death's Head symbol became evident outside, in the churchyard, where some artistic license and creativity could be used. Thus, the skull with wings, suggesting that there was a hope of an afterlife for the deceased. Also seen in the Death's Head motif was the image of the skull chewing on a leg bone, or of the skull and crossbones. The Death's Head eventually morphed into a vacant-eyed, Cupid-like face with a "Here lie the mortal remains of so-and-so" epitaph, suggesting the person had a soul. But in the case of my former mother-in-law, I'm pretty sure this epitaph would never apply. But I digress. Another mortality symbol is that of the inverted torch. The inverted torch comes in two different designs. When the torch is lit, it suggests eternal life and the afterlife. When it isn't lit, it suggests life extinguished. I ran across another symbol of mortality in my wanderings at Lakeside Cemetery, the draped urn or tombstone. Drapery is a symbol of mourning, sometimes a symbol of life cut short. The urn is almost ubiquitous in 19th century cemeteries, and it's possible that the funeral urn is where we get the term gone to pot. And Baker, that phrase isn't a euphemism for going to see your dealer, okay? The urn speaks of the whole ashes to ashes concept and suggests that it holds ashes, but the funny thing is that cremation was seldom practiced in the 19th century. Just goes to show that sometimes the outer bling is more important than the inner contents, I guess. There are vacant chairs and depictions of Father Time, broken columns, and the Grim Reaper. One of my favorites, because of the creepiness and drama it can add to a graveyard, is that of the standing skeleton, which usually has what is termed a weapon of death in its hands. These weapons can be arrows, a scythe, darts, or a spear, and when it holds these, it's called, get this, the King of Terrors. Isn't that just delicious? Of course, religious symbols abound in the graveyard. Among the Christian symbols are depictions of Adam and Eve, sadly, no Lilith, the Lamb of God, dice, nails, doves, or other symbols of the Holy Ghost, symbols of the Eucharist, the crown, and the Sacred Heart. I saw the dice a few times and discovered that it did not, in fact, mean that the deceased had been murdered by the mafia for non-payment of gambling debts. Who knew? What it symbolizes is the story of the centurions gambling for Christ's clothes after the crucifixion. Of course, there are symbols specific to the Hebrew religion, to the Muslims, and to the Asian cultures. Incorporating these into your cemetery will give it even more depth and make it more real. It sends a subconscious message that death comes for everyone, the ultimate equalizer for us all. Animals are often seen depicted in the graveyard and often have religious symbolism. I saw several gravestones with lambs either carved into them or as full sculptures perched on top, and I found out that it symbolizes innocence and the Lamb of God. In its unadorned form, it's seen most often on a child's grave, particularly that of babies. The ass or donkey does not, as previously thought, represent the Scream Team on a bender at Transworld. It represents poverty, patience, and humility. Snakes are most often seen on 19th century gravestones, biting their tails as a symbol of immortality and eternity. The dog is a symbol of faithfulness and loyalty, vigilance, and watchfulness. If you're really observant, sometimes you'll find an elephant on a tomb or a gravestone, which most often symbolizes that an adventurer is buried there. A good old-school florist is familiar with the language of flowers for the living, but many people don't realize that the flowers carved into tombstones or upon funerary architecture have meanings too. The calla lily, for instance, symbolizes epic beauty in marriage. The chrysanthemum, a flower also associated with El Día de los Muertos, symbolizes longevity and immortality because its blooms can last into the winter months. The cyclamen is a symbol of mourning as it has come to represent the bleeding of Mary's heart because of Jesus' crucifixion. It's also known as the bleeding nun. The daisy, like the unadorned Lamb of God, is often found on children's graves and symbolizes innocence. It's possible this is where the term pushing up daisies comes from. If you know what you're looking for, the seven virtues can be found in the graveyard as well. For instance, charity is almost always seen nursing a baby, but in the sexually repressed Victorian era, she was shown about to reveal a breast for her baby, but still chastely covered. Body parts have their own place in funerary language. Hands pointing upwards indicate the soul is already in heaven, while hands coming down indicate the presence of God. Hands shown together, as in a handshake, may have two different meanings. If the sleeves are shown with one looking masculine and one feminine, it's a symbol of marriage. If the sleeves are gender neutral, the hands can represent a greeting from heaven or a goodbye to the earthly plane. The heart is another symbol with different meanings. A heart in flames tells of religious fervor, while a heart ringed with thorns tells us of Mary's immaculate heart. And of course, angels are all over the place in older graveyards. Though there are many generic angels in graveyards, some looking like something you'd pick up at Lowe's or Home Depot in the garden art section, you can often find depictions of the Archangel Michael with his sword, shield, or both. Gabriel, an angel associated with the coming apocalypse, and therefore death, can be seen with his horn as well. Now obviously, this segment isn't the end-all and be-all of cemetery symbolism. I'll post some links for you to additional related material on the HauntCast website. As you can tell, the subtext of the cemetery is an elegant one to read for those who care to do so. It reminds us to enjoy and live life to its fullest, even in the midst of mourning our dearly departed. It reminds us of our own mortality. For the religious, the reminder is of the state of our souls and our relationship with God. The old cemeteries seem to me to be representatives of an era that took the time to carve beautiful memorials for current and future mourners to honor their dearly departed. Our modern cemeteries, with their flat, generic grave markers, seem more concerned with how fast they can mow their lawns than how the living will remember their dead. I think it's up to us as haunters to keep the old cemetery symbols alive. That's it for this time, my darklings. Take a little time to bring a picnic lunch and a camera to your local cemetery and tour the old gravestones, armed with your new knowledge of its hidden symbols. And until we meet again, bloody kisses!
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing HauntCast with all your haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.